I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hello and welcome to a bonus episode of the School for Dumb Women, the ABBA special. This week we invited Daisy Buchanan to the studio, author of the fantastic How to Be a Grown-Up. She came in to talk to us about her love of the Swedish double date pop quad that stole our hearts throughout the 70s and 80s. As usual, we talked for way too long, so here's the full cut of our conversation, or the ABBA gold, as it were.
So guys, I've got a bit of a confession today in that I didn't actually have time to research my segment because I was obviously researching about how to reduce my plastic intake.
Oh, of course, which, as ever.
As you know.
Very on brand for you,
is,
agree.
Yes, but I have managed to magic up a human woman to come in to the studio, pretend you've only just seen her.
Oh my God, she's hovering down from a cloud.
She is, and she's here to talk to us about a sexy subject. It's author, writer and general sex bomb, Daisy Buchanan, hello.
Hello, I'm so excited to be here. Thank you so much for having me. I'm a big fan. I'm going to take off my sexy dress and show you that my sexy tits are tattooed with your faces.
Oh my God, they are. That episode
of Alan Partridge.
One of your nipples is my mouth. That's weird.
And it's frowning.
Yeah, what was weird, Alex, is when I went to the tattoo parlour, that was not the first you the guy had done that day.
Yeah, it's pretty. I'm pretty big in Margate.
Hope you're collecting royalties from that.
Hannah, how do you think I've afforded this £2 shirt I'm wearing?
Ah, yes.
Exactly.
It's more discounts on fish and chips in Margate than actual money.
I haven't paid for a chip in 6 months. That's all I'm saying. Daisy, you're here to tell us about one of your favourite topics. It's some Swedish swingers who still wanted another man after midnight. Who are you here to tell us about?
Ooh, I like what you did there. I'm here to tell you about ABBA and my consuming love.
My first question for everyone about ABBA is, how old were they when they realised that ABBA is both their initials and a rhyming scheme?
I think that's why it's a palindrome.
It's so good, isn't it?
That's why they were called ABBA, wasn't it?
I know, but it took me a long time to realise it.
Oh, you know, this is one of my few smart facts for you, that they had to clear it when they decided on the name, because for a long time, this is the patriarchy for you, when the group was formed, I think they were just called either Bjorn and Benny, or Benny and Bjorn, the girls just sang along. And they were trying lots of different names, nothing really worked, until they were like, hey, our initials spell ABBA, which isn't a word, but it could be, it will be. But there is a Swedish cannery who I believe make tuna, they make the tuna and vegetables and such, but they put it in the cans and they had to go and ask their permission if they'd be allowed to be called ABBA. And they sort of said, oh yes, of course, just don't bring our brand into disrepute.
Oh, the cannery is called ABBA.
Mm.
Ooh, so ABBA cans.
I think in Sweden you still can buy ABBA tuna or ABBA lentils.
Oh my God, amazing.
Oh my God, my pun brain is going into overdrive. No, I haven't got anything yet. It'll come.
It'll come, yeah.
It'll come.
It's booting up. Those dial-up noises are starting.
Yeah. I hope they weren't out of tune.
Hey! There you go.
I don't think we could do better than that.
Thank you so much.
Mackerel.
And Dele Alli of puns. Did I get that right? Did I get the football right?
Yes, you did.
I was so happy because one of my many jobs this summer is to write about Love Island, and I made a football pun in Love Island and I said something about Wes playing a 4-4-2, and my editor came back and said, what is that? What do you mean? Like, I can't believe my one football thing sounds vaguely impressive.
Is that some kind of new combined pill? Or? Yeah.
It's a weed pill, the 442.
So Daisy, what is ABBA?
ABBA were And now what? They're a pop group, very, very famous in the 70s and 80s. They became super famous in this country in, I'm having a panic now, I believe it was 1974.
Don't worry, you can play it faster than the
Or possibly 1974. Yeah. When they won the Eurovision Song Contest.
Which is how they started.
And that was in Brighton. So I think that here in the UK, we've always had quite an affinity with ABBA and love them. I discovered them when I was, I think, on my first memory of ABBA, I would have been 3 or 4 at the oldest, because I remember the house that we used to live in where we played the record, and it was a Sunday. And my family is very Catholic and formal, and we'd all been to Mass and we'd all got dressed up for Mass, and it was Mass. And it was before lunch, and we were allowed a limited amount of Porsche crisps before our dinner, or before, you know, so we didn't spoil our lunch. And I remember we had kettle chips, because my parents being a bit, you know, late 80s fancy, but they weren't very good in those days. I remember the kettle chips my childhood being a bit soggy and crap.
They've rebranded to the Posh Crisp now.
They've got much better now, the kettle chips of
they
the
are
Zero.
The
and even
posh
though everything else is terrible, I'm thankful for the improved crisp quality. But my dad had like the scary, enormous family stereo. It's probably like a vinyl thing with enormous speakers and a...
But you're not allowed to touch.
You're not allowed to touch. Obviously, the cabinet that it was housed in was made of raffia, which is possibly the most 80s thing I've ever heard of in my life. It was like a raffia wicker combo. Ooh,
yeah, I was about to say,
I can
wicker,
really feel it. Like, I'm really there.
You know,
really in
shut
this
your eyes
room.
And you can see a yucca plant and Paul Simon crooning.
Yeah.
And I remember really vividly the cover of Voulez-vous, and it's blue, and it's the sort of surreal discotheque, I guess, and there are lots of kind of mirrored pyramids, and everyone is wearing white. And I remember that there were the two most beautiful women I'd ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
In the sort of clothes I'd always like plead my mum to wear, and she's like, no, why, I don't want to wear this sequined jumpsuit you found at M&S. Like, I want my jeans. And then these slightly odd guys who were with them, one was quite beardy and one looked a bit, they was a bit unsettled by the combo. But we listened to Voulez-vous, and I remember it being, thinking it was like a nonsense song, and then learning it's French. And Dad said that Voulez-vous meant sort of whatever you like or as you like. And it never really fitted with any of the French I learned at school. And I remember going to that club, going to classes and thinking, what are we going to do about Voulez-vous? And it just never came up. But it's such a sort of a mad, sexy song. And even when I was 4, I was like, oh my God, what is this world?
Yeah.
The beat of it and this idea. And even though I didn't really know what I knew, I could sort of imagine, you know, like nightclubs and martinis and cigars.
Yeah.
And I don't know what was going on there, but I just thought, I need more of this in my life.
Yeah.
This is great.
And Voulez-vous is like definitely the best song as well.
Do you think so?
Can we just get that out right now?
I always forget about that one as well, but it is one of the best
ones. Yeah, one of my ones. I like the Sorrow ABBA much more than I like the Party ABBA.
Do you?
I love Winner Takes ABBA. It All. Mm. I love Slipping Through My Fingers.
One
I love
of Us
emo
is my
ABBA.
Favourite, although my
One
favorite
of Us is a tune, man.
I have to tell you, this is my favourite ABBA story, and I tell it a lot. So there's an exhibition at the South Bank. I'm not sure that it's still on, but it was on around Christmas, and it's great. I would very happily go if it was just a load of like photocopied ABBA lyrics on a wall, but they do it brilliantly. And you go in and it's through a house. It's really immersive and you're in quite a little group and it's all set up. So you go into a typical 70s living room to get a sense of who was listening to ABBA. And then you're in the parks where they used to sing their folk songs. And then you're in a trailer and you see original costumes. And one of the bits at the end is done up like the set of the video for One of Us. And that's about the breakdown of the marriage between Agnetha and Bjorn. And the video is about Agnetha moving into her new house and moving on with her life. You see her decorating a house. And so because the room of the museum is replicating the set, there are loads of props, including a box of pots and pans and kitchen equipment. And there was one lady, and I'm not really sure how she got on the tour or why she came on the tour, because she didn't really seem very connected with any of it. And she'd been really, really bothering the tour guide.
She was like, this isn't brutalist architecture.
I thought I was in the wrong line.
Yeah.
But she alighted on this box and said to the tour guide, and were these ABBA's actual pots and pans that they used?
Oh my God.
And at that point, the tour guide had just, I think, lost all patience. Yes, these were the pots and pans that ABBA used.
Bjorn's bolognese was made in this very hot, famous bolognese.
It'd be good, wouldn't it, if they like took a can of ABBA peas and then put the ABBA peas in
the pots. Oh my God, that sounds great. And also, one of my only ABBA facts is that there's an ABBA museum in Sweden where there's a phone in it and it rings Bjorn's house.
Is that actually the house?
Is it, or is it the way around? Huh?
No,
no,
I think they
the other
can
way
call
round
in.
Would
no,
be
it's
that the museum would be.
They
would
can call in.
The house.
No, yeah.
It'd be there
it's
ringing.
Bjorn, I think it's Bjorn like,
calling people.
Bjorn can call into the museum when he fancies it.
Yeah,
and
when
if
he
you're
wants.
Near the phone when it rings.
Oh my God!
You can pick it up. Yeah. And Bjorn will be like,
and
"Hi."
Bjorn will be like, "Hi."
How often does he
and
use it?
And does he say, "Ring, ring"? Why don't you give me a call?
I don't. I have no idea how often he uses it.
I wonder if he's ever hung up.
Hey.
The Madonna remix.
Okay.
Nice segue.
Kind of a deep cut, but okay, I'll take it.
Thank you.
So Daisy, how come you love ABBA so much? What do they do to you?
When I was young, I did not have a lot going on. I wasn't the happiest kid, but ABBA was what I did have going on. I had no sense of ABBA as being camp or a joke or, you know, any part of anyone else's culture. I was just like, well, of course, I'm going to grow up and I'm going to be in ABBA. They'll meet me and they'll have to make me the fifth member of the band. They will be called Dabba or Abad. I can't decide. We constantly listen to them on car journeys. I had no sense of the order of the albums or like you could sort of tell what the big songs were, but also knowing and loving unexpected things. And it makes me think a lot about a sonic imagination and how we experience music now. That the way, you know, because we hear everything so quickly. And also it's always presented to us in a, this is what this is who it comes from. And you've got opinions about it. Whereas ABBA, I just completely absorbed. And I just remember singing my heart out in the backseat daydreaming about how my life was going to be. And all of my understanding about relationships and people, it was all based on that. I think there's an expression for this phenomenon, but ABBA sing really, really clearly. They're very, very articulate about their lyrics, and it's because English isn't their first language, and so there's a real crispness to it.
Of course, yeah.
And I think that's what I loved so much about them, that you can really, really hear...
Yeah, there's
word.
A real directness in the emotional vocabulary of ABBA. There's no, you don't have to wonder how they feel about anything. It's very, I think it's why kids get into them so easily as well, because their emotions are very pure and very unbridled. They're about, it's about loneliness or joy or whatever. Whatever emotion the song is about, it's pure that, you know?
Yeah, it's true. But there is a nuance as well, I think. And they articulate that nuance better than anyone. When it's that things like loss and longing and emotions that seem really quite nebulous and they make them quite solid.
My question about ABBA is, what happened with them personally? Because were they married when they formed the band? Or were they like pals and then they got together?
They weren't married before they formed the band, but I think that they became romantically involved quite quickly. I would have to check this. I know from... a documentary that was on Channel 5 a few weeks ago, that Agnetta married her stalker by accident.
What?
When the group disbanded, she really, really struggled to cope with the enormous amount of attention they received, and so she bought a house in the woods.
Yeah,
and
she became a recluse.
And so there was this guy who had been watching her and managed to kind of weave himself into her life in a way that made... her think, oh, what a coincidence, it's you again, maybe this is a sign from the universe. It's like, it was not a sign from the universe.
He's been in his car
watching your house for 3 weeks.
Oh no.
Sounds like a dating story Alex told us recently. Actually.
The divorce proceedings are going through now.
Wow, I mean, I have many questions about that, but also Frida, after Bjorn, was married to a crown prince.
What?
I want to say Denmark, but Frida was royal.
That's amazing.
As she should have been.
Quite.
All along, really.
And I feel like everybody, like the other three, I'm not sure what's the other man's name? So there's
Bjorn and Benny. Benny's got the beard.
Yeah,
well,
so...
I don't know what his face is doing now. But.
I feel like the other three were like, yep, okay, ABBA was a thing and we had a lovely time and now it's done. And then I feel like Bjorn still like...
He's hanging in there, isn't he?
He's still like... Any, I feel like at ABBA sort of conventions or whatever, he'd be there or like he's still...
But they have reformed actually, haven't they? They've recently reformed to make two new songs.
They're going to be bringing new songs, is it later this year?
Yeah, I think so.
And I'm really quite apprehensive.
Yeah, I would be as well.
As you can imagine. Also, the second Mamma Mia is coming. I have a terrible confession to make, which is I did not love the first Mamma Mia. I mean, what's not to like? Why didn't I like it?
And
I
think,
I think it was having to share ABBA that I resented so deeply.
I completely understand that. And also, the weird thing about that ABBA movie, Mamma Mia, as it's popularly known, that one ABBA movie, is that like the first half an hour is so cringy and so badly written, and it's so much of Meryl Streep pretending to drive a car, and just like, and so much like too much laughing and too much. Do you remember that moment in like the Sex and the City movie when like the girls saw each other and like the whole cinema went, "Oh, the girls are back together"? It was like that, except we didn't know any of the characters and we were supposed to care.
Yeah,
and it was like, oh god. But then once you kind of get into the songs proper, you're like, oh okay, I'm enjoying this now. So, I'm a bit drunk.
I mean, the other thing as well is I think that in Mamma Mia, I don't want to hear other people singing ABBA songs in a way that's not bad but isn't brilliant. I just like, it's ABBA or it's me. That's all I'm interested in.
Well, I'm actually pleasantly surprised because I even wrote down in the script and then took it out because I was like, no, wait. I put off seeing Mamma Mia for so long because I was like, honestly, am I missing something? This looks like the worst film on earth. And then I watched it on a plane one time and I honestly think it's one of the top 10 worst films I've ever seen.
Really? I thought you were about to say, and then I loved it.
I think it was awful. I agree with you. I'm like, what? How did this concept happen? Maybe it works as a stage show. I've not seen it on stage.
I'm not a snob. I want to like things. My default is really, really always wanting to like things.
Absolutely. I'm not trying to be cool by saying it's bad. Not at all. Like,
I think it's a very context-dependent film. So when I went to see it, I was with my mum. It was 2 p.m. and we were pissed.
Yeah.
Like, it was the biggest laugh. Yeah. And we just like wept during Slipping Through My Fingers. And like, we just had, because it's very much a mother and daughter like narrative as well. And I think you have to really be in a certain frame of mind to enjoy that film.
Definitely. And it's like one of those films that's kind of so bad that it's good. Like, you have to acknowledge that it's not going to be like a kind of legitimately good film, but it's going to be
the same,
going to have a lot in it.
Amanda Seyfried was in a film called Letters to Juliet. I don't know if you ever
that movie. Yes.
I had to go to a press screening a very long time ago, back in my teen mag days, and that is my favourite bad film in the whole world. It's like going on holiday. You can just shout along to the dialogue. It's like The Room, only everyone's much more beautiful and it's got a much happier ending. You feel like you're on holiday. I think it's shot in Tuscany, or it looks like Tuscany anyway, and it's sort of the most...
Yeah, it's kind of like a shit Roman holiday, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
The ending really is like, oh no, that girl you saw me with, that's just my cousin.
Oh, great. I'm going
to
watch that.
I'd like to think there's a director's cut where he's boning his cousin.
Well, I really liked what you said earlier on about your experience of ABBA is that sort of like sonic memory thing. Because I think when we were all growing up, our experiences of music were just like, all you had was the CD and the picture of the CD. Mm. And that was the whole artist to you. Like, my first big album was Jagged Little Pill by Alanis Morissette. And all I had was that misty picture of her with the green over it.
Yeah.
And those songs.
And do you remember getting that little book out? The book about trying to interpret it. Please. And also, there'd always be those dents where there's a sort of like little like plastic lips to keep it in, and you try and slide it out super, super carefully so as not to damage the precious book.
Yeah,
because it was, you know, CDs cost a lot of money, and you really wanted them to hold their value. Heaven knows what for.
But or even when you'd buy a CD and then you'd open the little book and there was no lyrics in the book, you'd be like, "What the fuck? I spent $12.99
going back to our price."
Yeah,
our
money back.
And reading, and also the album dedications as well. And I think that's what's so lovely now about being. I don't know if Caroline, if you felt like this, but when I did the thank yous at the back of my book, and there was that, like, nobody is ever going to read this, but I thought, well, but I remember how I used to memorise those in CD sleeve notes. So
completely.
Maybe.
I felt that way as well. I almost felt like I wanted to drop clues for people. It was just so vain and like egotistical. But it's like, oh, I want people to get this like weird snapshot of what my life is behind this book, even if they don't care. I want to leave like, I mean, surely writing a book in the first place is evidence enough that you existed on this planet. But I want to like leave a little clue of who I am, you know?
Yeah.
I think on my next one, I might write something like, this one's for you, KX. But KX will be King's Cross, which is where I spend a lot of my time now that I'm in
Oh, that's good.
But I always used to pour over like the little album booklets and see, you know, see if they'd said thanks to their ex-girlfriend or something. You know, like, oh, maybe they're still together or whatever.
Or even better, no thanks to you, Janine.
My favourite one is Joan Rivers. In her book, one of her books, she wrote, "This book is dedicated to Kanye West because he'll never fucking read it." Which is fantastic.
Amazing. Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Daisy, your book is called How to Be a Grown Up. It's out in paperback now. It's fantastic and I love it. It's so wise and so funny. And what I'd love to know is what are the different ways in which ABBA helped you to grow up? What were the lessons you imbibed from ABBA?
Oh, that's a really sweet question.
I think I learned a lot about love and heartbreak from pop songs and from ABBA, especially. I think that firstly, and this possibly hasn't actually served me as well as I thought it might, because I think that humans in love, and maybe men in love especially, are a lot less complicated than ABBA sometimes made them seem. But this idea that you could, that, you know, love was going to be complicated and painful and artistically beautiful because of that, I think that stayed with me. And perhaps also this idea of, I don't know, glamour. I think that's what I always held on to as a child, because I really did not enjoy being a child, and I was like, I'm going to be such a glamorous, I'm going to have a Raffia CD hi-fi holder of my own.
Hi-fi, I remember them.
And I guess they were very beautiful and confident. And I think what was interesting as well is, even though we know they were two couples writing about their relationships, and it's weird. I mean, for example, I think that One of Us was written for Bjorn, for Agneta to sing, which is a bit weird, isn't it?
Very weird.
To make the person who you feel the most hurt by and angry with be the mouthpiece for your emotions.
Yeah,
Fleetwood Mac did the exact same thing. Yeah, what's that one? Shacking up is all you want to do or something. What's that song again? Go Your Own Way. Yeah, so he wrote that for Stevie Nicks, wasn't it?
Yes, and isn't that the one that Christine McVeigh wrote about someone, but she told the other guy that she wrote it about her dog?
Amazing.
That Fleetwood Mac song, "I want to have sex with you, big sexy hound."
Oh, what?
That famous song.
That's crazy, isn't it? That's very strange.
You know, whenever they do those surveys, and they always say, like, I think the top three most awful, stressful things any human can go through is, it's bereavement, buying a house, and I don't know,
working with your ex-boyfriend.
Yeah.
Being in a hen party WhatsApp group. but I always think on that survey, surely being in Fleetwood Mac should be in at number one with a bullet.
Oh my God, imagine.
Or being in ABBA, like, because they must have had so much pressure, having had their big break on Eurovision and having so much success, like, especially in the UK. I don't really know what their popularity was like elsewhere, but I assume massive. There's a lot of pressure on a group to kind of keep performing and keep turning out the hits.
According to Channel 5, they were constantly in Japan. And I think right towards the end, again, this is all sort of speculative. I don't know them. I do know them. I think that...
You're the man in the woods.
Agnieszka really, that was me with my binoculars. Totally fine and normal and legal.
I can see you hiding your wedding ring.
Twisting it around, clasping my hands. I think that Agnieszka was like not spending any time with her family, and everyone else was like, no, you have to come to Japan. It's going to be great. And he's like, I don't really want to spend 4 months in touring in Japan.
Yeah.
So I've had a couple of, you know, things like this I really, really adore doing, but just 2 days of running around, and like I had to stay at Oxford and I had to take my case, and I, you know, had times that were really like frenetically busy, and then I felt a bit drained and I just had to sit by myself. I've been at this for 24 hours. Mm. So if I had to go to Japan for 4 months with work colleagues.
Yeah. God, one of whom happens to be your current or failing husband.
Yeah, like, exactly. And did they have kids?
Oh, I don't know.
I think Frida definitely did. Frida is Anna Fried. You see how I know them?
Yes.
See how we're pals. I think Agnieszka did. And obviously, it's so bad of me, isn't it, to sort of think
this
of
is very
the kids
brand
that the women have and not be like, you know, Bjorn and Benny had kids because they all had kids together. I don't know. I think Benny had kids after the breakup.
Yeah.
But yeah, they had families.
What I think is so interesting about ABBA and Sweden by extension is that like Sweden has this weird affinity with, they're really good at making pop music because like folk music and like musicality is so at the center of their culture. And like I went to a Irish Swedish wedding, and halfway through the ceremony, like the bride's sisters just stood up and began singing in perfect harmony, and it was the most natural thing to them in the world.
They've got life sorted, haven't they? So they just sing happy disco songs.
Yeah. And like my Swedish friend, her brother is a songwriter, and he tried to get into the Eurovision for years. It's so competitive. Every other person in Sweden basically enters. And he had to wait until he had a Bosnian girlfriend to enter it under her name as a Bosnian entry. And then he got to the semifinals of the Eurovision.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah, his final song didn't actually get to the main thing, but yeah.
Well, actually, not everybody in Sweden does like ABBA, do they?
Yeah. Interesting link, yes. So I have a Swedish friend called Tuva, and she hates ABBA. She really hates them. And
that's quite common.
Tuva.
Yeah, I know. And I remember when I found out this about her, I was just like, hang on, like I've known you for a couple of months. How did I not know straight away that you don't like ABBA? It doesn't make any sense to me. But I asked her anyway why she doesn't like ABBA. And she sent me a little voice note, and this is what she said.
I mean, I don't hate ABBA. I mean, I would definitely pick ABBA for karaoke or late night drunk silly dancing. But there's something like too happy about them, like too sugary and all smiley faces. It's like all too perfect with two happy couples and stuff. So yeah, that's my Swedish point of view about ABBA. They're too happy. Swedes don't like happy.
I would say that I don't, it's feel like it's like she's not watched the end of the film. They both broke up. And one of the lyrics is one of us is dying.
Yeah, but I absolutely know what she means. It's a very happy atmosphere for a lot of the kind of more dancey songs. Like if you listen to ABBA Gold, there's very few of the kind of like
That's
sad
true.
Bits in there. It's all kind of like
about,
Dancing Queen, like Mamma Mia.
The Winner Takes It All is one of ABBA's biggest songs, and that is
That's
devastating.
That's true.
But I think that if you're mainly exposed to ABBA at weddings, then you could absolutely, you know, come away being like, yeah, you know, Dancing Queen is hardly.
Yeah, it's like if you only ever listened to the Grease Megamix, you'd think that it was not like a horribly distressing film.
Yeah, or for me, it is. Yeah. I thought Queen was just like Bohemian Rhapsody for ages.
Right?
So I was like, what is this band?
I remember hearing the first time I heard Killer Queen, I was like, oh, they're awesome. They're not just like a stupid dad band.
Yeah. But yeah, so maybe it's also that thing that like there is a lot of ABBA in Sweden generally, and if it's kind of pushed on you too much, then you're a bit like, oh, really? These guys again? So maybe that's kind of what Tufa is like experiencing.
I think everyone has that because it's how people from California feel about the Eagles, and it's how I feel about James Joyce.
I thought you were going to say the Cause.
Or like you too. No, I love the Cause. Love you too. James Joyce can just shove it up his arse, which he'd love, by the way.
But I do think ABBA make me happy. They really do.
Yeah, I think we should stick with Daisy's point of view, I think.
Mm-hmm. All right. So, Daisy, again, your book is How to Be a Grown-Up. It's out right now in paperback. It's wonderful. And in Kindle, I believe it's like like a quid or something? Or
it's gone up to 2 quid.
Oh, 2 quid!
That's how you know it's good.
As I just said on Twitter, it's cheaper than a bus, depending on the bus. Yes.
So tell us, what's the next sort of, if people have already read How to Be a Grown-Up, what's your next book, what's your next project?
I've just finished a memoir called The Sisterhood, which will hopefully be out in the spring of 2019. I'm just waiting for my edits, which is...
I'm also in that time, so it's very, very hard, yeah.
Because they were a little bit late, and I was like, I'll just pretend it's not happening. And then my kind agent chased them for me and said, I'll make sure you're going to get them by the end of the day on Wednesday. I'm
like, oh. Like, thanks, bitch.
And is it about sisters?
Yeah, so I am the eldest of six girls, grew up super, super Catholic. And so I've written about the relationships between women, and I've used sisterhood as a lens for that. And I've talked about, you know, jealousy and envy and competitiveness and the claustrophobia of it, but also, you know, the love and friendship and tenderness and how we, I think, understand ourselves by looking at other women. Also, the sort of the horrible, painful, complex psychological torture of Catholicism at its most extreme, but also the funny bits and, like, coming out of the loo and being face to face with a parish priest who's trying to hang his coat up somewhere.
Sounds great. I can't wait to read
confessions.
Obviously, the two women in ABBA weren't sisters, but I always felt that there was a bit of a, like, a beautiful swan, ugly duckling thing, even though they were both gorgeous. But there was always that thing that the blonde one was just like this, like, princess, and the other one was kind of the other one.
Whereas,
you know what
actually,
I mean?
Now you grow up, you're like, the brunette was hot.
Yeah, they were both banging.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's definitely, like, always that thing among sisters, isn't
it? It's funny, isn't it? And seeing it even now on Love Island, and guys were like, you know, there are two types of women, blondes and brunettes.
Yeah.
But I always, because I'm clearly not a natural blonde, I was born quite blonde, and then that all went away when I was about six.
It all went away, like, to Siberia.
Yeah, I pretty much did, sort of overnight. I got this really, really terrible haircut, and then my hair went from being kind of long and blonde and wavy to... It looked like an old-fashioned swimming hat, and it was really, really, really dark brown and curly.
I had one of those, yeah.
And all of the kids at school asked me if I was wearing a wig, and I don't think some of them were joking. And so I was like, just the second I'm old enough and I've got some money, I'm going to go back to being blonde again. And I think that Agnetta is a big part of that, and her, the way she was revered and the sexual power seemed to have.
She was like this golden lion of a woman, because she was blonde, but she was so, like, athletic and strong as well. Yeah. Like, she was glamorous, but you could still see, like, she could probably put a boat together, you know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's just everyone in Sweden. Yeah. They can all do that.
That's the third type of woman. Blonde,
exactly.
Brunette, boaty.
Yeah.
Daisy, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you.
If people want to find out more about you and your books and your life and your sisters, how can they do that?
You can find me on Twitter, where I'm at NotRollerGirl. On Instagram, I'm at TheDaisyBee, like a buzzing bee. Oh, yes. Please follow me on Instagram. No one follows me on Instagram. Oh. I'm very thirsty and lonely over there.
I do. You look
great. They're good grams. There's lots of lobsters on them.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. Before I go, I think we should do this in harmony. I've not done this. Chickadita, tell me what's wrong. You're enchained by your own sorrow. In your eyes, there is no hope for tomorrow.
I was amazed.
I thought you were all just going to be like, what are you doing? You all went with it.
Oh, we're all up for a sing song. Yeah.
I love a sing song, but I couldn't remember.
We've got less guests who haven't sung.
Well, now you know. We hope you enjoyed this bonus episode. Tune in for a normal episode next Tuesday. Bye.
Bye.
Ta-ra.
Oh, did I do it too early?
My favourite ABBA song is Gimme, Gimme, Gimme
A Man After Midnight. Won't somebody help me take these troubles away? There's not a soul out there.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Welcome back to Two Judgy Girls. I'm Mary from the Bay.
And I'm Courtney from LA. TJG is the podcast where we spill all the tea on your favorite reality TV shows, celebrity gossip, and everything in between. We're here to bring you our unfiltered opinions, hilarious commentary, and plenty of laughs along the way.
We're two SDSU Delta Gamma sisters with a microphone and a whole lot of opinions. Each week, we dive headfirst into the wild world of reality television, from Bravo to all the trash TV you could want. We break down the drama, dissect the latest scandals, and share our thoughts on everything from the jaw-dropping moments to the embarrassing antics.
But that's not all. We're not here to just gossip. We're here to connect with you, the jurors, and share our love of all things pop culture. Whether we're dishing on the latest celebrity breakups, discussing our favorite guilty pleasure movies, or sharing embarrassing stories from our own lives, we promise to keep it real, keep it fun, and keep you coming back for more.
Come judge with us.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.